Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. It seems as though the church is becoming aware of the hour even more. It seems as though we're recognizing the time is short, and we need to step into the harvest as much as possible. If I understood the report correctly, over 5 million was given to global missions last night, and that far exceeds any previous record, so that the missionaries can return to their fields without an extended time of travel trying to build up support. And we support about 14 missionaries, and we thank the Lord that we have the privilege of doing that. But I'm thankful that there's the increase, amen. And not just the increase in giving financially, but I think the commitment of self. That was a powerful service tonight. Oh my goodness, I hope you have opportunity to take a look at it in the archives. Brother Bernard's message, absolutely powerful. And as the other messages were as well. But tonight I want to turn your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and read about Hezekiah. I've mentioned to you sometimes reading about the kings is discouraging, and especially from the standpoint of we know where things are going to end up. It's going to be a downhill slide. Even though there are places of bright light and power and goodness. Hezekiah is one of those bright lights. And so we'll read about him in 2 Chronicles 31, 20 and 21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. It's interesting that there's a connection there with several things, what was good and right and truth, and then the work and the service, the commandments, and he sought the Lord. And he did so with all his heart, and he prospered. I'm going to call this Hezekiah's help. Hezekiah's help. He got help from the Lord. And I thank God that we're able to glean from the experiences that this king of Judah had and see what the Lord can do for us as well in this hour. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. If you would back up to chapter 29, I'm just going to point out a few things about the reign of Hezekiah and how his story unfolds in the Chronicles of the Kings and the blessing that came as a result. He did that which was right, and he did so in the sight of God. It wasn't so much a popularity thing that he was concerned about, whether or not he had the acclaim and the recognition of everyone in Judah. He was concerned about the hand clap from heaven, and that's what he was focused on. So in the sight of the Lord, he did that which was right. In the house of God, he opened the doors in chapter 29 and verse 3. In the first year of his reign, and first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. It's amazing that they would need repair, but that's what I meant by the ups and downs that we read about in the kings of Judah and Israel. But Hezekiah, to his credit, recognized the need to repair the house of the Lord. And in verse 5, again, it's amazing that he would command the Levites, "Hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place." And we're left to wonder, how did it get filthy? How did it even show any signs of neglect? How could it have been regressed to a state where there was dirt and debris and false gods and idolatry that had to be removed from the very house of God. But thankfully, there was the recognition of what needed to be done. And they did so with their hearts. We read from the passage that told of Hezekiah serving the Lord and working for the Lord and doing the work of the Lord with all of his heart. In verse 10, "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." Again, he is emphasizing it's a heart situation. It's not just something that we sign on and say, okay, I'll take a shift, I'll do some work, I'll remove some of the debris. No, there was a recognition. This has got to be done with all your heart. It's got to be a situation you recognize the God of heaven is desiring everything about you that he can bless for his kingdom and for his work. So make a covenant with him. Don't be negligent because the Lord has chosen you. Look at verse 11. "Now, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense." That was the priestly responsibility in the temple. And thank God the Lord had made a choice that Israel and the Hebrews would be involved in his service. And Hezekiah is admonishing them, serve him, minister to him, do the work of the temple, follow through on your commitments. And praise God, that's exactly what they did. The sacrifice and the singing continued as they made reconciliation, as they made atonement. There was the psaltery, the harps, the cymbals, the trumpets. They really got into it because that was what God desired. Everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord and serve the Lord. Thank God that there was a congregation that worshiped, and singers that sang, and trumpeters that sounded, and all together they formed a worship team, as it were, and began to lift up the Lord and to exalt him. All that were gathered, king and all, worshiped. They sang praises with gladness, and there were too few priests. There had to be more that were dedicated, more that were consecrated, more that decided they were going to do what was right as well. And because there were few priests, they couldn't keep up with the sacrifices. The Levites had to step in and help. Thank God for the power of the Lord that moved in their midst, even though they were not adequate, even though they couldn't step forward to take care of all that needed to be done. Oh, I just imagine, what would it be like if we had so many to baptize in the precious name of Jesus Christ that they would have to line up, praise God. We would have to schedule them. We would have to say, you come on Monday, you come on Tuesday, and we'll make time, we'll make room for you to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Some of you might have to use a wet gown. Some of you might have to bring your own towels, but we're going to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that there would be that kind of revival and that kind of move and the blessing of the Lord, because God can do the work. God can magnify his name. Thank the Lord for the power and the blessing that he can bring forth. Jump down to verse 36 of chapter 29. Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people for, the thing was done suddenly. There wasn't a delay. There wasn't a dilly-dally. There wasn't a saying, oh, well, I've got other commitments. I've got other things I need to take care of. They recognized this is first. This is right. This is what we've got to do, praise God. And they rejoice in doing so because it was done of a sudden. Oh, I'm thankful God can do a sudden work. Suddenly, there was with the angel the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We recognize that was the scene around the shepherds as they heard the announcement that there was born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, which shall be to all people. Thank God for the power of the Lord that can suddenly take place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, thank God that the Lord can do a sudden work, and His power and His blessing can be manifest in an amazing way. Hallelujah. Thank God that the man who was to become the Apostle Paul, the man who was to write almost half of the New Testament, suddenly had a light from heaven shine upon him and knocked him to the dust of the Damascus road. And not only that, but knocked the pride out of him, knocked the self-assurance out of him, knocked the self-direction out of him, so that he repented and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thank God that we can turn our lives over to the Lord and know that there's far greater blessing, far more blessing and strength that he's able to impart to us. Suddenly, hallelujah, and even in drastic circumstances, Paul and Silas in jail, their feet made fast in the stocks. And it was very uncomfortable, their backs bruised and bloody. But at midnight, they couldn't sleep, they were uncomfortable. But they decided to pray, and they decided to sing. And suddenly, an earthquake shook that jail. All the bonds were loosed, all the doors were thrown open. Praise God, I'm thankful for the power of God that is able to come forth suddenly. And I think the warning that the Lord gave us in His word, watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. Oh, we've got to be prepared. We've got to be making sure that we're doing what's right and what's good and what's proper in our worship to the Lord. All that is truthful, amen, to walk in it and to serve the Lord. They kept the Passover. They sent messages out. They returned again unto the Lord. They had one heart to do the commandment of the Lord, and there was great joy in Jerusalem. I'm thankful that's what the Lord gives. I'm thankful that's what He provides. Amen. I'm thankful that we don't have to drag around with our lower lip dragging on the ground, feeling like this is horrible, this is awful. I don't like serving God. I don't like coming to church. I don't like having to read the scripture. No, I'm thankful I can know that there's something there for me. And I can rejoice when I come together with the people of God. I can lift my hands and give surrender and worship and praise to the one who rescued me. Hallelujah. Thank God that I know His power and His blessing, as there is joy unspeakable and full of glory in serving the Lord. Thank God for the love and mercy that He extended to me. Amen. And extended to you as well. There was a cleansing of idolatry that needed to take place. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah were overrun with images and groves and altars to various gods and various images. But Hezekiah caused them to be utterly destroyed, removing every trace, removing every aspect of any false god. And thank the Lord, that's what God is pleased with. And I'm thankful that we can do that in our lives, in our hearts. There's nothing that we're going to share the Lord with. There's nothing that's going to move into the realm where only God is to occupy in my heart. And I try to allow something else to move in there and have a sacred place. Oh no, I'm going to give all to the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Hezekiah commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give. And it's interesting that the first fruits, the tithe of all the things that were brought in, they received it abundantly. Three times in the scripture in chapter 31, three times it is mentioned of tithe. Thank God for your tithing. Thank God for your faithfulness, because God returns the blessing on you even more than you would give to His kingdom. I'm glad I've learned that principle. It was a hard one to learn. It was hard to really feel like that God was going to be there. But oh, I've proven Him again and again. In fact, He said, prove me. Prove me. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to contain it. Thank God that it may not be monetary in every aspect. But I'm thankful that peace has no price tag on it. And that's what he floods my soul with. I'm thankful there's comfort that cannot be bought with cash. But the Lord provides that comfort, that counsel, that blessing. Oh my, the list goes on and on. Thank God that he is faithful to his promise. And the blessing of the Lord that is there in so many ways. Amen. The abundance that he brings and he provides. They heard about the good, the right, and the truth, and they decided to do what is good and right and truth. Amen. I'm thankful that he did it with all his heart. And the Bible says he prospered. God can make it happen. Amen. Now, the enemy doesn't like things like that. The enemy doesn't like for you to prosper. He doesn't like for you to be blessed. He doesn't like for you to receive from God only what God can give to you. So he's going to step in. And that's what happened to Hezekiah. An Assyrian king named Sennacherib decides to come against Judah and try to defeat them. He thought that he would encamp against them and win them for himself. He purposed to fight against Jerusalem. So Hezekiah began his preparations. He stopped the fountains and the brooks. He built walls and towers. He made shields and darts, or swords and weapons. Most important preparation was in restoring worship of the Lord. All of these things Hezekiah recognized. I got to take care of them. I got to make sure this is in place. I got to make sure we're in the spot and in the position where we can worship the Lord and know his power and his goodness. He offered comfort and encouragement. In chapter 32, in verse 7, he said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him." I'm sure that there were those who were only looking at the natural, would look around and say, there's only a handful of us here in Jerusalem compared to the mighty army that is out there on the plain and filling up the mountains and the valleys. How are we going to survive? How are we going to be able to win any kind of victory? But they needed to recognize, when you have God, hallelujah, there is everything that you need. When you have the Lord, there is more than enough. Praise God, and the blessings of the Lord will come to you. In chapter 32 and verse 8, the prophet described him, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Oh, thank God we have the confidence of what the Lord is able to do. We have the recognition of how God is able to step forward and do the work of the Lord. I'm reminded of Elisha and his servant, just the two of them, as they were in Dothan and all the enemy surrounded them. But Elisha prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of the servant. And he told him, "Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And he said, "I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Thank God that the hand of God stepped forward. Now, nobody else could see that. Nobody else was aware of it. Oh, I'm thankful that God can open our eyes and give us confidence that the angelic host is around us. Praise God. And the hand of the Lord is not going to be negligent. It's not going to be evaporating and disappearing in the time of trouble and difficulty, but our eyes can be open to what God is able to provide and how God is able to move forth, how God is able to bring forth. Amen. Oh, if you had the faith to ask the Lord to open your eyes to see what is at hand and how the power of the Lord can be displayed on your behalf, thank God that we can put our trust in him. Amen, and know the blessings of the Lord. Now, the Assyrian attack was a very real threat. No denying that there could have been subjugation, annihilation of Judah. The king advised Judah not to listen to Hezekiah. He said, "The Lord our God shall deliver us." And the king mocked that Assyrian king mocked that. He said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him trick you into believing that your God is going to provide for you. And then he goes down through a list. What about all these gods? What about all these nations? And then he mocked Hezekiah even more. Look at what he's done. He's taken away other gods, and he's commanded Jerusalem and Judah, you shall worship before one altar. Apparently, in his thinking, the more gods, the better. The more idols, the more power. But we know that's not true. Thank God for the one true God that we worship, the one true God that we lift up, the one true God that we magnify and glorify. Thank God that we know his name to be Jesus Christ and the power that he's able to reveal on our behalf. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that we know the one God. And the king of Assyria thought perhaps that serving one God makes you weak. And so he discounted Hezekiah. He disregarded the other gods that he named and the other nations that had been defeated. And his spokesman, Rabshakeh, repeated the threats and he offered the compromise. He said, do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you will eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern. Oh, the devil knows how to make offers. The devil knows how to make it appear very appealing. The devil knows how to say the things that will try to get your attention. If you compromise, if you surrender, it's going to work out okay. But no, thank God, we can believe in the one God, the one true God, and know the blessings of the Lord that are there and the help of God that's going to come forth. Amen. I'm thankful for what Isaiah had to say to the king Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. This is Isaiah 37 and 6. Behold, the Lord said, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And look at this prophetic statement. I will cause him to fail by the sword in his own land, or fall by the sword in his own land. Praise God. What? The most powerful king in the world at that time? The one who indeed conquered many nations, many lands, and the gods of those lands had no ability to withstand before him. You're going to cause that to happen? I'm thankful that the hand of God was magnified in such an amazing way. Hallelujah. Thank God for the goodness and the blessing of the Lord that would come forth. And the Rabshakeh would continue his boasting. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? That was his challenge. But oh, thank God for the hand of the Lord that would be there as well. Because the Lord would answer as though he would say to the king of Assyria, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who it is that you're blaspheming? Do you know who it is you're coming against? Oh, I'm thankful. We need not be afraid that the Lord is going to step in on our behalf. We can put our trust in him and know that the outcome after the outcry is going to magnify his name. Hallelujah. We are going to be delivered, and the hand of the Lord is going to be manifest. That letter that was delivered to Hezekiah indeed struck fear in the hearts of those who wondered how it was going to turn out. But thank God, the Assyrian king's power over the gods who were no gods, but works of men's hands, wood and stone. Thank the Lord, Isaiah would recognize he worshiped at one altar. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Thank God that he was able to remember that it's the Lord who was going to deliver. It was the Lord who was going to bring forth power. It was the Lord who was going to provide the answer. Praise God. I'm thankful that the hand of the Lord steps in, and Isaiah's message continued from the Lord. The Lord declaring, I will defend this city and save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Praise God. The Lord remembers his promises. The Lord doesn't forget what he has said. The Lord doesn't have a glitch somehow, or what do we call it when the computer messes up? Something that just fails, something that just fouls up. Oh no, my God is able to step forward and do the work. Hallelujah. And his blessing comes forth in an amazing way. King Sennacherib had one angel appear and destroy 185,000 of his warriors in one night. Then the king went to his temple to worship his god, Nisroch, and he should have remembered the words about no god being able to deliver, because that's exactly what happened to him. It wouldn't have mattered how many gods he had in his temple, but the vengeance of the Lord came to him, and his own sons smote him with the sword, just as was prophesied by the Lord sometime before. God knows how to fight for you. God knows how to minister to you. Thank God there was a celebration because the Lord saved them and guided them on every side. Offerings were brought to Jerusalem. Hezekiah was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth because they trusted in the Lord. Praise God. And thank God that there was rest or root and fruit that was admonished by Hezekiah for them to dig down and be established in roots and to rise up and bear fruit. Praise God. And thank the Lord for the blessings. Amen. Now, another lesson from Hezekiah. His time to depart this earth had come. And the messenger from God said, "Set your house in order, for you're going to die." He had set the house of the Lord in order. Now it was time for his own house to be set in order. And that is an important function. That's an important work. We can't just go la-la through the land and figure that everything's going to work out. No, God gives us wisdom. God gives us order. God gives us direction. And Hezekiah reminded the Lord, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." Remember that what was truth, what was right, what was good that he worked for, he's reminding the Lord, "That's what I did for you, Lord." And so the miracle maker, the miracle worker, made a blessing for Hezekiah, and he added 15 years to his life, and he made the sun go back 10 degrees on the sundial. Amen. And Hezekiah lived on for the Lord. How incredible. God is able to step forward and do that work. He's able to provide and bless in such a tremendous way. And I love Hezekiah's testimony in Isaiah 38 and 17. This is his song. He's singing because of the Lord's deliverance. He's singing because God's hand was upon him for the nation, deliverance from the enemy, and now deliverance in his own life. He said, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." What a testimony. Praise God. I think we can all identify with what Hezekiah was saying here. The situation was drastic. Things were not looking good, but God delivered our souls from the pit of corruption. He cast all of our sins behind his back. He took care of the needs that we had in our lives, and he provided in such an amazing way. Praise God. He went on in verse 20. To say, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." That sounds like someone who wrote a psalm. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thank God for the power that the Lord is able to reveal. Now, we don't have a king coming to our gates and threatening to make slaves out of us. We don't have the difficulties of the house of God being compromised and and things not coming in that would be displeasing the Lord. Some may be doing that. We recognize that that's true. Those kinds of things are happening. Principles of the Word of God are being compromised. And some are being allowed to stand behind pulpits that have no business being there. That's happening. That's true. But we don't have a sword in our face. We don't have a gun in our chest yet. Some of that is happening in Pakistan, in India, in Papua New Guinea, in places that there was tremendous revival, incredible revival. There's rising up thugs and thieves and beating pastors and saints of God, burning the churches. That's happening now, happening today in our world. And so you need to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world, that God would keep them and comfort them and provide for them and protect them. But there's a spiritual warfare that is going on now, a spiritual warfare. It's happening in society. It's happening in our country and other countries, other places that have let down standards of morality and areas that should have stood for the family and for protection of children and all of these aspects. That's coming against us now, and it's a spiritual warfare. We have to get ready. We have to stay ready. You take the whole armor of God. That's why God has given it to you. Take the whole armor of God. Don't leave any of it laying in neglect. And certainly pray without ceasing, to know the power of praying in the Spirit. Thank God that we can have truth and righteousness and the gospel and faith and salvation and His Spirit. We can withstand and we can continue to stand, praise God, in loving the truth. But here's the enemy now. Pinch a bit of your flesh. There's the enemy. You can't cast out flesh. The devil has recognized how he can thwart the plan of God by attacking the flesh or using the flesh to be against the kingdom of God. You can't cast out flesh. If it was demonic, we can take care of it in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord would be manifest to rebuke demonic power. Amen. The devil has learned he can't defeat the church in that manner. As we've seen it, we've experienced it. We know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But my flesh wants to rise up. My flesh wants to go its own way. My flesh wants to take charge and be in control. Now, Romans 8 is a beautiful chapter, a wonderful chapter of power and freedom and blessing and glory and grace in the Lord. But it starts out with warnings. It starts out telling us to be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's God's enemy. And the devil is using that to defeat the people of God. That's why what the apostle says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Based on that sacrifice, I too offer myself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Praise God. And the apostle was so strong about it. He said, the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. We talk about a double tap in tactical terms and so on. There's got to be a double tap of our flesh and understanding. It's got to be something we put down. We make sure it is crucified. We don't pander it. We don't cater to it. We don't coddle it. We don't baby it. We make sure we are understanding how important the walk with God is and the discipline that we've got to have. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. I'm thankful we know 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 is such a powerful verse, and it doesn't leave us in a space or in a place where we are defenseless, but God in his power brings it forth, and we're able to go forward and know the blessings of the Lord. Praise God. We don't neglect so great salvation. We love truth, and we continue in it. Praise God. And we know how powerful prayer is through God, pulling down those strongholds. I'm thankful that he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The Lord is there. His power is with you. And you can continue to pull down strongholds. Those blessings and that power is going to continue. And I'm thankful the hand of the Lord is going to be there for you as well. And you can take the offensive. You can take the word of truth into the hearts of those who are needing to be set free. You can help them to know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Thank God for the power of the Lord in John 8 and 32 and how we're able to experience it in an even greater way, in even greater measures, and know the hand of the Lord will be there. And verse 36 goes on to declare, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank God for the power of the blessing of the Lord. And we continue on to do what is good, what is right, what is truth before the Lord. And we seek God with all of our hearts, not holding back, not reserving anything, not qualifying my commitment, but saying, God, everything I am, I want to belong to you. Everything I can be, I want it to belong to you. Praise God. And the hand and the blessing and the strength of the Lord comes forth in a glorious way. And his power is revealed to us again and again. Praise God. Now, we may be going through a season where there is no struggle, there is no problem, there is no difficulty. And this kind of preaching may seem like, that sounds good. But when you need it, when you're facing it, when you're up against it, praise God, let these promises and let these examples and let these stories come through to feed your faith and to raise you up. Praise God. Hezekiah can help you in understanding the Lord is not going to let his people fail. The Lord is not going to let his name be dragged through the mud. The Lord is not going to falter and fail. Praise God. But he's going to be there to lift you up with blessing, with strength, with power. I know there are situations that happen. There are situations that come. There are difficulties that take place. Brother Bernard, in his message tonight, talked about the car accident that resulted in terrible injuries for his parents, and how that their departure to Korea, they were called to be missionaries to Korea. Their departure was delayed. But it came to pass that Brother Bernard, due to his injuries, caused his hair to turn white. Now, why would that be such an important thing? Because Asian cultures honor the elder, honor the man who has the white head. And so when Brother Bernard departed there, he wasn't that old. But when he departed for Korea, his hair was white. And when he stepped on that soil, again, there was recognition of honor and respect for him, because that was the culture he stepped into. But oh, the hand of God that was manifest. Praise God. The blessing of the Lord that came forth. There was no PIM back then. There was no Partners in Missions. Didn't have churches like Sterling Pentecostal Church that would sign up for $100 a month to support them and do their work. There was just offerings that were given to the Foreign Missions Department, and those offerings that came in were divided up among the missionaries that were on the field at the time, and if there was enough, they dispensed it to every missionary. If there wasn't, they tried to establish priorities. And so it was very much, very much a faith walk. But they built a church, praise God, and the hand of God was manifest, the blessing of the Lord that was there. So two broken arms, broken ribs, His mother's neck injured. She did not remember a concussion in her brain. She couldn't remember the 6 weeks of that incident and how it happened. But God, amen, God brought forth his victory out of seeming defeat. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can keep our eyes upon him and know the blessings that are there, that we believe him, we trust him, we rely upon him, we believe him, praise God. And story after story of faith and power and goodness and blessing, amen. Missions in China, it just seemed like it was coming to nothing. Missions in India, again, seeming like it was just being met with defeat, but God moved and brought forth powerful revivals in those places. Praise God. And the hand of the Lord was manifest. You keep going. You keep believing. You keep trusting. You keep holding on. You keep walking with the Lord. Praise God. Don't listen to the mocking of the enemy. Don't listen to him saying you're being deceived. That preacher is just telling you lies. Oh, no. Oh, no. If we had opportunity tonight to give testimony of how our God has come through in difficulties and seemingly impossible situations, I'm thankful that we can trust our God and know he is going to be there for us. Hallelujah. The blessings of God that are going to continue. The strength of the Lord that's going to be displayed. The hand of God that's going to reach out into your circumstances and do a work for you. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can put our trust in him. Amen. Being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is not just getting wet. It's not just a ceremony. It's not just something that we do because we're determining that this is what we have to accomplish as claiming to be a Christian. No, understand, that's the name above every name. That's the only saving name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. It's the name that every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. Oh, thank God that we can know the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Being filled with his Spirit is not just having our tongue get mixed up and sounds like gibberish coming out. But oh no, it's praying in the spirits, building up yourself in your most holy faith, knowing the hand of God is there to minister through you. It's the Spirit praying through you, praise God, with groanings which cannot be uttered because the hand of God is being displayed in your life. Oh, thank the Lord that we can be used in the Spirit, blessed by his name, knowing his power and his goodness. Praise God. Stand with me, please. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. The help that Hezekiah received can encourage us. And the help that was given to Hezekiah is the help that can come to you as well. There is more with us than that be with the satanic powers in this world. It seems as though what's happening in society, what's being done in our government, what's taking place around even churches, it seems as though things are falling apart. But oh, I'm thankful the church is getting ready to go up. Amen. And I'm thankful it's going to go in revival. It's not going to go like a little puppy dog with its tail tucked between its legs, yipping and yelping, running away from an even bigger dog that's chasing it around. Oh, no. Thank God for the power of the Lord that's going to bring us forth. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to step forward and do the work for his church, for his people. Amen. And thank God that we can know that victory. We can know that power. Amen. Is this a time to be hesitant? Is this a time to be intimidated? Is this a time to be fearful? Is this a time to step back? Oh, no. This is a time for God's people to step forward in the name of Jesus Christ to go forth and conquer. Amen. To do what's good, to do what's right, to do what's truthful, and to know the power of the Lord. Because doing it with all your heart is going to cause you to prosper just like Hezekiah. Praise God. Now, easy to hear your pastor say that. Easy to hear him make those claims, read those promises, preach about these situations. But oh, I pray, God, put it deep in their hearts. Put it strong in their minds. Put it in the foremost of their desires. Let them step forth in the victory that God desires to give to His church in this hour. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's love the Lord right now. Praise God. Can we come and pray for a bit here? We're looking forward to fellowship. We're going to have a good time. But oh, we need to stand in the presence of the Lord for a few minutes here tonight. We need to commit ourselves again, Lord. I'm going to do the work that you have for me. I'm not going to let fear paralyze me. I'm not going to let it torment me. I'm going to claim your victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe you, Lord, for your power and your might. Hallelujah. I'm going to commit myself to your plan and to your purpose. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and desire the hand of the Lord to be displayed in our midst. Praise God. The hand of God to be shown forth because you step forward, because you claim the promise, because you desire to do a work for the Lord.